right circle. Are you kidding me?
Well,
8-3 Buffalo.
Metsa with the one-timer, and it got deflected by a Montreal Canadiens in front of Jacob Fowler. It's snuck in through the 5-0, and even Alex Tuck was pointing on Metsa. Listen, Zach Metsa this season, when in the lineup, the Buffalo Sabres were 29-5-4. That's a big number.
Yeah,
with Metsa.
He's not going anywhere for Monday
night.
He's
not going anywhere. Now the Sabres will go to 5-4, I should say, with Metsa in the lineup.
Metsa magic for Buffalo here tonight with an 8-3 lead in Montreal. And as Marty said, at one point it did not look good after the first goal. Then Montreal scores three straight. You're thinking 3-1 in Montreal. Here we go.
More penalties as Kirby Dach is exiting the game, and Peyton Krebs will do the same. So,
Team Buffalo attendees misconduct.
Some early showers tonight.
I was just
going to
say,
players.
They just want to get changed, really. Yeah.
They're hungry. There's always hot dogs. There's food in the locker room. You get there first, they're warm, and you get to enjoy them.
Later start, it's 10:53 Eastern time right now with 2:08 to go.
Well, I say this, like, the fans here were trying to keep Montreal in the game at 5-3. They did the wave, right, trying to get the energy up, but the Sabres responded absolutely the way you need to respond in these type of environments.
Puck will come outside the Sabres zone here on the pass up for Greenway, and Bolduc taps him twice with a couple of one-handed touches. I won't call them slashes. Ballenstein in the far corner of the Montreal zone. Greenway after it as well. 1:38 to go. And the Buffalo Sabres trying to wrestle the puck back here. Newhook sends it to the net, but a soft escape to the corner. McLeod throws it to open ice. Here's a shot stopped by Luukkonen. And he continues his stellar play here.
You know, I've been a part of a lot of playoff games where I played and didn't play and was on the bench maybe as the backup. And you always have to keep yourself ready, right? And especially the way the season went. And obviously, you know, 3 goals on 4 shots on Alex Lyon. Lindy Ruff makes the change. We saw Marty Zanui not make the change in game 5 when Dobesh had given up 3 and the Sabres were up 3-2. Sometimes you have a feeling. Luukkonen has been really good in this game to settle things down, allowing Buffalo to get back in this game.
Sabres play the puck deep in the Canadian zone. This is Dooley playing it away from Quinn. 7:30 Eastern time start on Monday at KeyBank Center, where there are thousands of fans in Buffalo tonight. It's going to be an icing call against Montreal for a watch party. Hats off to all of you there, because from afar you've helped give this team some energy and belief.
There will be 1,000 more, you know, in the building, outside the building on Monday night.
They should just stay there and occupy every seat that a Montreal fan would try to take on Monday night.
Some of those fans
can we
may
do
think that?
That,
you know what, if I stay in, they can't kick me out.
They can't kick
me
out, no. You got to handcuff yourself to the seat down there and don't let them in. Here's Dooley out of the Montreal zone, tracked by Ballenstein. Sabres get the puck back in their own end. Metsa, what a marvelous night. Getting his first Stanley Cup playoff goal in his first NHL playoff game. He's been part of a national championship team. Lindy Ruff saying, you're staying on the ice here to close this one out. 19 seconds to go. Puck at center ice. Sabres will just dump it in. This group was going to stay out there. Fowler behind the net, and the Montreal Canadiens stand behind the net. Just holding the puck, the clock runs out. Somebody call the Undertaker. The Buffalo Sabres are far from dead. They're alive. They're alive. And they're going to game 7 in Buffalo.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dan. That was a gutsy effort. A tough environment, But you got to embrace it and really get fueled by it. You're down 3-1 in the first period. You battle back a huge goal to make it 3-2 before the end of the first period. A huge goal by Benson, 3-3 early in the second. And then it was floodgates from that moment on. The Sabres played a very, very solid game. And now there's questions on both sides. You know, Marty St. Louis, the Montreal Canadiens, what did they do for Game 7? The Buffalo Sabres, how did they prepare? Lindy Ruff says, we're going to win it in Game 6 in Montreal. And we're coming home just like it was a game on the road. So it'll be funny to see what Lindy Ruff does with his group.
Wonder if he puts them up in a hotel somewhere instead of going home.
I mean, we're flying home tomorrow. Maybe they go straight
from
the airport onto
the
hotel.
Right to a hotel.
We're having a team meal. We're all staying together.
Why wouldn't you?
We're
going
to play cards. We're going to play video games just like they did on the road. They're 5-2 on the road this
Not
this
even
off-season.
Going to the rink. You won't see us. We're going to show up with the same lineup and do the same. I don't know why you'd break routine, but...
Oh, you don't. You don't break routine.
Unless there's a big Baron family convention going on that all the rooms are taken up. Brian Kozio.
Oh, I'll give him the rooms. Don't worry.
Brian Kozio with the postgame show, and we're going to stick around, Brian, and sit down here in what is thankfully a quiet Bell Center. What a night here. 8-3, the final score.
Yeah, tell me what the mood is like in there, at least over the last 5 minutes or so. Did a lot of fans leave early? It seemed like, at least looking at it, there was a decent amount of empty seats.
There was. When it ended up being 7-3 on the Thompson empty net goal, I think people left. Before that, there was a few. But like I mentioned, they were doing the wave at 5-3 early in the third period, trying to will their team to say, hey, you know what? You were up 3-1. Buffalo scored 4 straight goals to make it 5-3. You can always come back. But it never really caught on. The Sabres played a perfect, perfect game, especially in the neutral zone. And it took all that energy out of the Montreal Canadiens. And then everybody started to leave. And it'll be interesting to see what that looks like for Game 7 at KeyBank Center.
I just think, you know, follow up on that thought. I just think more on what we were kind of not really jokingly discussing, but you need to find a way to keep the same feeling. Instead of, oh my gosh, we can't win at home. This was our, you know, Achilles heel. And I'm just really super interested. I'm not saying it wins or loses you the series, but the way they played on the road, it can't go without a discussion, right?
No, I mean, I think it definitely does. And I think I'll probably at some point during postgame start talking about it, because it's a reality. They haven't been good at home, and they've been incredible on the road. I mean, that's what now 5-1 away from KeyBank Center. Lindy Ruff was asked about it during our pregame interview, and, you know, he said he thinks there's just less distractions, and, you know, he kind of went through some of the logistics that even, you know, Marty's talking about being together and all that, and I think that plays into it. I also wonder, too, Dan and Marty, because you've played in some of these buildings. I asked Paul this on pregame. I said, the buildings now Montreal still is a special place, but most of these buildings overall, it's not the Forum, it's not Chicago Stadium, it's not Memorial Auditorium, it's not Boston Garden. Like, these places had different sizes, different kind of quirks with it. The locker rooms, I'm sure the visiting side, they weren't great in a lot of these places. I feel like maybe now everything is almost kind of cookie cutter in some sense. I don't know if that has any play into it, but it seems as though the home ice, I know Paul said going into tonight in the Eastern playoffs, home teams were 12-20. I mean, that's a bad record.
No,
I mean, how much?
Bad record. It's a record. But I think a lot of it, too, is the travel, right? Like back in the days when you had to do commercial flights and stay overnight and then maybe even travel the day of the game. Now it's a lot different. I mean, the Sabres, you know, they got here even earlier than usual yesterday because they didn't skate. So they left instead of 2 p.m., they left at 1 p.m. They're staying over tonight. Why? Because instead of traveling back after an 8-18 puck drop, you're going to stay over, have a team dinner, get a good night of sleep. You're not leaving at 8 in the morning. You're leaving at noon. You're going to just, you know, recover in that way. And I think that a lot of the things that used to be a challenge for the road teams is not as much here, especially for the teams in the playoffs. And the travel coordinators, they know exactly what they need to do for the players to be at their best.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, I just think the way our world is now, and this isn't a negative comment, but with the amount of attention and coverage that are now on that everything, right? It's around how do they handle it, and now you've got so much around just going and playing a game that it's just easier when you don't have
as lovely as this building is, and as lovely as any home building is with all these fans in it, you have 20,000 people who expect you to win that night right in your face all night long. And the moment the air gets let out of the bag a little bit, yeah, you just kind of feel it. And when you're on the road, the moment you feel that, you're thinking, hey, you know what? This is a reminder, if we just play this way all the time, we can beat this team as long as we don't give them, you know, power play opportunities. So maybe that's a Buffalo thing. Maybe it's a Montreal thing, to the point you brought up, Brian. Maybe it's just everywhere where the expectations now are, they've always been there, but now they're in your face, right? It's on every social media. It's everywhere. It's not just coming to the rink and going, yeah, we got to win in front and we got the home fans here. No, no, you hear it from every angle in your life.
And, Brian, I'll tell you this. So, you know, everybody's got their superstitions. Everybody's got their things, the signs that you see, and people sit in the same seat. So earlier today, Dan and I went for a walk, and I decided, you know what, I'm buying some new sneakers for tonight's game. And the guy at the store is like, Buffalo Blue, I like it. So, yes, you know, that's one thing.
We saw a bunch of things.
A broken car on the road with five Montreal Canadiens, people getting out and having to push that car because it was smoking from the hood. And we're like, well, maybe Montreal is going to be having engine problems tonight. Like, we were seeing everything. And Dan,
I wore a suit. So I brought a suit to Montreal that I didn't obviously look in the pockets before I got here. But it's a suit that I wore for the April 26th game in Buffalo, in Boston, when the Sabres won that game 6-1.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'm keeping this in my pocket tonight because now they bettered that at 8-3. But, yes, all these little things we saw throughout the day that we thought, we're just going to kind of keep that in case something positive happens here tonight. And sure enough, that smoking car full of Canadiens fans that broke down right in front of us. And I thought, Marty, that might be the best news that we see the entire day.
I felt
day.
Bad for that group, but I said, you know
no,
what?
No, I didn't. That's
it's probably going to be less expensive for the tow truck as opposed to the parking around the Bell
that
Center.
That was a pretty high-end car that broke down, so I was okay with that. They'll be fine.
Dan, we talked last game about the Sabres' best players needing to be their best players. Yep. And Lindy made some lineup changes, which we can get to in a moment. But let's start with the two that we always start with. It's Thompson and Dahlin. Dahlin, a five-point night, and Thompson, a four-point night. So there is maybe the definition of your best players being your best players tonight.
What I liked about both of their games was composure. So for me, and I think everyone can agree, that Rasmus Dahlin is one of the best defensemen in the world when he plays the game with his skill set, with his mind, with his ability to get the pucks and away from double teams in the corner. That long pass up the ice when he takes a hit to make a play, the lob pass, he just reads the game so well. And when the rest of it starts creeping in, that's when, like any of us in life, it just complicates things. So I thought today, even when, as Marty was talking about throughout the game, even when they were down 3-1, they didn't overcomplicate the game. They just stayed with what they were doing. As Seth Appert told Marty in the break, and we talked about it on the broadcast, hey, despite the fact that this happened in the first period, we actually like how we're playing. Just keep doing it. You're going to score on this team because you're putting so much pressure on them. And they did. And for Tage Thompson, I think it's the same. You can't, it's easy to say, because I do it too in all of our daily lives. The minute you let frustration creep in on anything you're doing, it's going to affect the outcome. And I thought tonight, they didn't let that happen. They just kept at their game. And if they were not going to win this game, they were not going to win it playing their best hockey, not getting into the nonsense. And obviously, at the end of the game, Montreal tried to draw them into some stuff. But by then, it didn't matter. All that stuff was done. So that's why I think, personally, those two guys had the games they did.
Yeah, and you look at the start of the game, so you have Thompson playing the right wing with Norris in the middle and Benson on the left, and they scored 30 seconds in, and it's because they had their legs going and they got on the forecheck. And yes, there was a misclear that Dahlin was able to take advantage of. He attacks the net, gets on the back end, but Thompson really dictating the play. Dahlin dictating the play. You talk about in game five, Nick Suzuki's power play goal to make it 5-3 late in the second was the killer, right? Like, trying to give yourself that two-goal lead. That is what you look for in a game. And when it was 4-3 for Buffalo and Montreal was pushing a little bit, Dahlin went behind his net, looked over his shoulder twice. He saw Zucker at the far blue line. He took a huge hit and made that play around the wall. Zucker gets it to Hellenius, and it's in the back of the net, and you have that two-goal lead going into the second intermission. Those are the plays your leaders have to make, and that is exactly what you saw in this game here with the Sabres down early, The leaders kept pushing forward. No frustration. You do or die, and they decide to go with do and continue to play and go on to game seven.
Well, and then, you know, Brian, the, I don't know, just the almost steadiness they get from Zach Metsa when he's in the lineup, when he has possession of the puck. He's not someone that, I know near the end of the regular season, it looked like there might have been some games where he was trying to catch up to things a little bit. And, you know, in fairness, in a first NHL campaign, even though things went really, really well right away for him, there were going to be some games that maybe the speed was picking up and he's going to figure it out. I think even those games, maybe Marty at the end of the year did him a great benefit that he eventually doesn't play and he realizes, okay, this is what I'm going to face next time I'm in the lineup. He comes in what is not an impossible situation, but a lot of people wondered, is this a time to throw someone into their first NHL playoff? For a guy like Metsa, who is a former captain of a national championship team, who just has this kind of way about him where nothing seems to faze him, it was kind of like Hellenius. Doesn't matter if you throw him in, because this is the first. Doesn't matter how loud the crowd is. It could be a quiet building. It's still their first, so those butterflies will be there. And they're just going to rely on their game and play how they play, and that'll bring them confidence. So for both Metsa and Hellenius, you know, without their contributions, we're not standing here, that's for sure.
I think Lindy Ruff, again, the moves that he's made through the course of this series, and I guess overall in the playoffs, you include the Boston series, for the most part, almost every single time, he's hit a home run with it, whether it's a switch on the defensive pair, their third pairing, or inserting someone like Hellenius into the lineup. Tonight, obviously, Metsa, it works out, or the in and out sometimes that he's done with some of the other defensive lineups, it's worked. In goalie at goal tonight, Marty, obviously Alex Lyon is going to want to forget this night, but he gets his teammate to come in, Lukanen, and play a perfect night the rest of the way. These two guys have been the 1A, 1B punch through the regular season and into the playoffs now, where it hasn't been perfect in the postseason, but they're now one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. So even thinking about maybe who is in Game 7, I think that'll be an interesting talk. But at least Lukanen tonight comes through and bails out his teammate there, Alex Lyon, who struggled early.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go either Lyon and Lukanen. I think everybody would think Lukanen's going to continue on, and he had a really good game. But who knows, right? They're going to have a conversation. Because I said Lukanen in Game 5, it didn't work out. I said Lyon in Game 6, didn't work out for Alex Lyon. Funny enough.
So we don't want your input.
Yeah,
then.
You don't want my input. I'm wrong, regardless of what I say. But I felt like this was a weird game for Lyon, because his very first save on Demidov in the slot was a really, really solid, controlled, composed, quiet type of save. And then on the very next faceoff, Harbor Jack Eye beats him from out far, a fluttery shot. Okay, you know, you put that aside, you're like, well, let's see how he responds. The Demidov power play goal, nobody's stopping that. I mean, that play from Slafkovský to Caulfield to Hudson to Demidov, they were working on it in this morning skate. I saw it. I was like, wow, they can move the puck. And Demidov's got a laser of a one-timer. So you say, okay, well, you know, let's see what happens. The next one, shorthanded, Evans shoots it to the blocker side, kind of goes through Alex Lyon. Right away, I saw Lindy Ruff, where in Montreal, your backup goalie is actually across the ice, across the bench, and he made a sign to Lukanen right away. Like, he didn't want to wait. He was like, I think we can win this game. Our guys are going the way I want them to go, but I got to tell them that I've got their backs. And obviously, after Game 4 and Game 5, Lindy Ruff said, it's not about our goalies. It's never going to be about our goalies. It's not about the goalies either tonight in Game 6. It's about the rest of the team, the Buffalo Sabres, and how they responded to the start of the game.
Let's do one more here each with Dan Dunleavy and Marty Baron on the post-game. Sabres force a Game 7 with an 8-3 victory. Game 7 will be Monday night at KeyBank Center just after 7:30. Dan, two stats that I want to throw at you, because it's been something that also we've brought up at times as an issue.
Already. Yeah.
Power play, 4-for-5, mm-hmm. And tonight face-offs, much in Buffalo's favor, 61%. Josh Norris had a killer night in the circle. He won 11 of 17.
Yeah, and once I saw the numbers to Marty that Josh had, Because I know you guys have discussions on Sabres Live too about faceoffs and the meaning of good numbers, and obviously it's when you win a draw and it's situationally when you win draws, because you can lose a draw and it doesn't hurt you, but the Sabres are losing too many in this series, and I just felt they were constantly chasing a very quick Montreal team who are able, especially with Matheson, who kind of controls things at the back and he lets his speed guys get up ice, and then they were having success, you know, with their battles along the wall. So special teams, I probably overstated it during the call, but, you know, listen, my love for this team and these guys, I'm basically trying to say to them, I know they can't hear us, is that you please don't take any penalties here. You can't do it. You can't play this game with this group. But credit the penalty kill, too. I know they got a shorthanded goal scored against them, but, you know, once Lukanen got in there and the penalty kill kind of found their rhythm against Montreal, they held them at bay. They didn't let Montreal get that next goal to feel that they had a game to get back into. And then on the power play, just nice movement. I like the play away from Tage Thompson lately. They've been consistent, Marty, trying that post-to-post play, which really hasn't
worked for them. They got Norris on the back door one side. They got Benson on the back door. Actually, Doan, not Norris, on the one back door, Benson on the other side. But you have a shooting mentality. You have Darlene Quinn and Thompson in the umbrella, and then you have guys at the net. And once you started to draw Montreal out in the zone, the low play was opening.
And Thompson did shoot very early in this game.
Yes.
And he put a couple right on the pads of Dobesh. And I remember bringing that up to you, too, that, listen, it doesn't have to be a 95-mile-an-hour shot. Put it on his pads and hope for a rebound that somebody can get onto. Or at least, to your point, as a goalie, you would say this, oh, this guy's shooting early. He might be doing this all night long, so you got to play that shot. And it sets up so much more. So, yeah, Brian, good point to bring up those things. I also think, too, that the Sabres won more battles tonight. I think they were quicker to battles on the wall. And I think that, from what I saw anyway, in other games where it looked like, again, we were constantly chasing the play, they met the play, and then they were in on the battles, and they were coming away. I can see it right now in my head looking back on the game, the number of times that McLeod would come away from the boards with the puck, and he would just hold possession. He'd skate to space. There were still some times where clears were a little bit iffy in the first period, but that was part of an entirety, I think, of that first period that they wanted to partially flush and get to the rest of the good parts of their game. So, yeah, to your point, power play, face-offs, and then the battles. They were in on the battles, and Montreal didn't just roll them on battles tonight.
Zucker winning a battle at the neutral ice area that eventually led to the 2-on-1, which fed Hellenius. That got him the little cushion to play with there to push it to 5-3. There's another example of a battle there. And Zucker's game has come alive here as of late. And I guess we can credit Hellenius as well. Since they've gotten together, it seems as though he's had a really, really nice second half of this series and getting going, which the Sabres would love. Jack Quinn gets two goals. He now sees the puck go into the net. So a lot of things trending well for Buffalo here heading into Game 7.
Right? Yeah, sorry, I mean to interrupt, but that's the depth going into the series that nobody expected that anyone was going to win this series easily, right? I think most people expected when you looked at how these two teams played each other throughout the season, this was probably going to be a seven-game series, and that's exactly what you got. Each team has had a game now where they've kind of rolled their opponent, and the rest of it has been just up for grabs. And I think Game 7 is probably going to be one of those up-for-grabs games. It'll be Here's the interesting thing about this series. Normally, Game 7, we watch it, and all the analysts and commentators on TV, because we haven't been part of one before, is, oh, they're going to lock it down. There's not going to be many scoring chances. Teams will be afraid to make mistakes. I don't think this series can lock it down. I think these two teams have to play the way they play. And if one team does back away, I think they're just inviting disaster. So it's a really interesting seventh game. And, you know, one of the more interesting games to probably talk about leading into it, because I don't see how either team just sits back and clogs things up to the point where it's a boring game.
Brian, I'm going to ask you that question because I know, obviously, you're listening to our call, but I want to know what was the feedback with, the TV broadcast, if some were watching that, because I did talk to our buddy Ray Ferraro today, and when we saw him at the morning skate, I'm like, listen, how can you get both teams angry with you? At least be good to the U.S. market, be good to the Sabres fans, and he started laughing. So was it better today?
You know what? I had you guys on, so yes. I did hear a little bit of them here and there.
But X or on social media.
I didn't see much reaction on social media tonight about it. So I think maybe he took your advice.
Okay, that's good.
You know what, Ray? Maybe
everybody was listening to us.
Ray, maybe you just don't know how to handle how good the Sabres really are.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the reality here. Like I said. They're off the mat, baby. Game 7's coming up on Monday. And Marty and I are going to book the team in a hotel ourselves.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Marty, have you ever played in a Game 7 before?
Yes, my very first playoffs as a starting goalie was in Philly. We actually took a 3-1 lead in the series and then lost Game 5 in Washington, lost Game 6 at home in Philadelphia, and then Game 6 and 7 were on back-to-back nights. Look it up. Oh, it was in 2008 in the playoffs. And so after Game 6, we lost. We took the train from Philly to Washington, and we're playing the next night and facing Alex Ovechkin, who scored in that Game 7.
Did you guys not have a CBA back then or something?
I don't know what was going on, but they were like trying to get it over with. And we actually won Game 7 in overtime on a power play goal by Geoffrey Leupold. And that was, I mean, what a memory and a core memory from my career. But, yes, my very first Game 7 as a starting netminder was a win after losing Game 6. So now, look, everybody's thinking, oh, Buffalo's got the momentum. They won Game 6. Montreal is going to feel defeated. They lost Game 6. A Game 7 is a 50-50 coin flip. You got to get a couple bounce. You got to be skating. But you've just got to make your own breaks. And that's what Buffalo's going to try to do on Monday night.
Yeah, exactly what you did tonight. And it's going to be hard to carry over because Montreal will have different energy. I'm just watching down the stands below us, guys, and the Sabres are coming up and greeting some friends and family. So I think somebody's mom and dad came to the game. The player just went down, but he had a hoodie on. I don't want to say it was Zach Metza, but, you know, or I can't tell. It's somebody's maybe even grandparents that are in the stands. So or former Billets, for all we know, right? But there are there's a small crowd of Sabres supporters and family members that are down congratulating some of the players that are coming up from the room to getting to Game 7, not on a series win because that is far from accomplished, but what a job tonight. And I just want to, for a moment, thank John Collette, who is sitting to our left here. He's been very gracious host as our technical engineer here in Montreal. John, appreciate everything you've done for us. I know this is our last game here. I will personally wish you luck. I won't wish your team luck, but I'll wish you personally luck because I know we're all making a living here as we continue to keep working games in the playoffs. So great city, great job. Thank you for everything you've done here. Really appreciate it. Professional. Even cheered for a couple of Sabres goals because I know John was thinking, hey, I'd like to get this to maybe a 6 or 7 games too. So now he's got it. And the lady we met too in the smoothie shop today.
Oh, yeah.
Got her wish that she didn't want Montreal to win tonight.
Well, she lives right next to the building and she said it gets loud after wins. So she's like, I kind of want to go to bed tonight and not have to hear the fans outside. So once again, we got all these signs pointing to a Sabres win today. Didn't know it was going to be 8-3. Listen, that's the
Hold
first
on. Did
time.
Did we have 8 signs, though? So
maybe.
She was the first one.
Four the guys, shoes.
The shoes. Four. So that's 2 shoes, right? So that's 1,
yep.
2, 3.
Yep.
The car had 4 guys get out of it.
Plus
to push
the car.
It. That, so that's 7.
Plus the car. That's
and
8.
And then the, well, no,
the
but
pass,
the
yes.
pass. That's 8. We had 8 signs, Marty, and they scored 8 goals.
That was good.
Yeah.
That
was going to work with that.
That was karma, for sure. Well, gentlemen, great job on the call tonight. Have a safe trip back to Buffalo. I'll see you Monday night. Marty, by the way, you had 39 saves in that win in Game 7, so congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. Yes. And I did have a series-clinching game in Montreal the next round, and so when I see the guys meeting their families or their friends in the stands, I remember hugging my mom and dad after moving on to the conference finals after beating Montreal in 5 here at the Bell Center.
That's cool.
And that's a really cool moment, so it got me a little you know, my heart skipped a couple beats when I saw the guys coming up, and the job's not done, like Dan said, but that's one more step towards a win Monday night.
Yeah, it's a nice moment to see, too, though. You know, no matter what happens the next night.
Yeah.
Yeah, great to see. All right, Brian, rest is all yours, along with Paul Hamilton, who I know is doing his job here. Better be in Montreal.
Yep, Paul's, he's down in the room. He just spoke with Jason Zucker, Tage Thompson. We'll have those interviews coming up here in a moment, and we'll hear from Lindy Ruff. But Dan and Marty, thank you so much. Have a safe trip back. See you Monday.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
See you Monday.
All right. Marty Baron, Dan Dunleavy, kind to give us some few minutes there. Great analysis. Sabres force a Game 7, a huge 8-3 victory tonight. All right, we'll continue the post game after this timeout. When we come back, we'll head to the podium. Hear from Lindy Ruff. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Rasmus Dahlin will be at the podium. Paul spoke with Zucker and Thompson. We have all that coming up. We'll get Paul's final take, stats, updates, details on Game 7 as we roll on here. A victorious night for the Buffalo Sabres. They roll in Game 6. 8-3 the final. More post-game when we return after this as you're listening to the Stanley Cup Playoffs on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
The radio home of your Atlantic Division champion, Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Quinn plays it down to the goal line. Dahlin is down low. Power play with 1:18 left. Quinn ready to fire, scores! Quinner with a great shot as he rips it home. Another power play goal, and the Sabres storm back and have a 4-3 lead.
Jack Quinn giving Buffalo its first lead, and it was the lead for good. 10:54, he beats Dobish, and a 4-3 Buffalo lead eventually ends up into an 8-3 Buffalo win. That's the game winner. It's our goal of the game tonight, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you here back to the post game. Brian Colziel with you. 8-3, Buffalo forces a Game 7 with their victory tonight at the Bell Center. Of course, KeyBank Center will be the host for Game 7 Monday night, 7:30. Big thanks to Dan Dunleavy and Marty Baron for sticking around, giving us some extra analysis there. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. Good stuff as always from those guys. And they'll be back, of course, Monday at KeyBank Center. Looking forward to it. Rob will be back as well. So I'm happy to be back to another game. I didn't know if tonight was going to be it for the season, but we know we have at least one more Monday night at 7:30. And now it is official, because this is going seven, that the first round, I'm sorry, the first game of the Eastern Conference Finals, whether Buffalo or Montreal wins, it will be Thursday night, next Thursday, in Raleigh, as the Hurricanes have home ice advantage. They were the top seed. So it'll either obviously be Buffalo at Carolina or Montreal at Carolina to start. But we do know at least now that game one of that next series is going to be Thursday night, with this series going seven. Carolina has had a ton of time off. They will be very, very well rested. And who knows, rusty too? Who knows? That's going to be a long, long time off for them. The Western Series starts up on Wednesday. That is with Colorado and Vegas, and the Avs have home ice advantage there. All right, we are expecting the Sabre players coming up shortly in the media room. We'll get reaction coming up here in just a little bit. At the podium, along with Lindy, will be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Rasmus Dahlin. So we'll have that interviews coming up. Paul Hamilton in the locker room just spoke with Jason Zucker and Tage Thompson. We have plenty of locker room sound to get here over the course of the next little bit here on the post game. We would welcome your tweets. You can send them in right away at BrianWGR. We'll get to some phone calls later at 803-0550. Your final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third, 8 for Buffalo, 7 for Montreal. The Sabres end up with a 36-22 edge in there, out shooting the Canadians by 14. Power plays, I mentioned it with Dan, 4 for 5. Who saw that coming? 4 for 5 for the Sabres. The power play goals tonight, Zucker, he gets that one at the near the end of the first, which I think was a nice build for Buffalo going into the second. Quinn gets one, the game winner, I mentioned there. Then Quinn a second one. And then Metsä late in the game gets his first. Nice for Metsä to get rewarded. He was solid there in his first game overall. We'll get some more individual stats here coming up in just a moment. Luukkonen gets the win. 18 shots, 18 saves. He was perfect. Alex Lyon, 4 shots, 3 saves. A tough night for him. I think, you know, there's an argument for both goaltenders for Game 7. We'll probably get to that in a little bit, but that'll be interesting. I mean, I asked Marty, he thinks maybe it'll be Luukkonen just because he had just come off of playing well, but I think there's an argument for both, but we'll leave that for that and coming up in just a moment. How about a game where both goalies get pulled? It's kind of odd that both goalies will get pulled. Yeah, Lyon gets pulled after 4 shots, 3 against, and Dobish gets pulled after 33 shots, 6 against. That was just kind of a, hey, we're going to let you rest here down the stretch. There's no goalie controversy in Montreal. Dobish will be back for Game 7. Jacob Fowler came in, faced 2 shots. 1 went in. That was the Metsä goal with 2:11 left in the hockey game. Let's get your 3 stars now. They're brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts. Ready to improve your home's comfort game plan? Get started at bluestarhs.com. Thompson, 4 points, 1 goal, 3 assists. He is star number 3. Jack Quinn ends up with two goals and an assist. He is star number two. And Rasmus Dahlin, what a game for him. He opens the scoring on a great move around Slafkovský. 32 seconds in on the opening shift for his third of the playoffs. He ends up with 5 points in this game. One goal, four assists. There are your best players being your best players. They got it tonight from Dahlin and Thompson. 9 points combined. How about this? Montreal's top line, Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský, 1 point total. One assist for Caulfield. A secondary assist. That's it. So there you go. Best players versus best players. Buffalo with a huge edge tonight. They obviously were hoping that they can repeat that coming up on Monday night in Game 7. All right, some other individual stats beyond Dahlin's 5 points and Thompson's 4 points. Jack Quinn, I mentioned, with 3 points. Other Sabres with multiple points in the game. Zucker had two, a goal and an assist. Benson had two, a goal and an assist. Benson and Thompson were plus three. All right, let's go to the podium. Rasmus Dahlin and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in Montreal.
Open things up for you on the power play.
We were keeping it simple, honestly. Quick puck movement, and we had a shooting mentality today, and we got pucks back, so it was an overall good power play game.
Rasmus in back. Owen Power takes a spill in the last game, goes down, looks pretty bad, ends up playing tonight, looked like he had a really impactful game. When he is playing at that level, what does he bring your team?
I mean, he's a huge part of our team. He's so unbelievable in what he does, and he's key in a lot of situations. So a lot of character shown from him. I'm sure he battles through something. So a lot of respect for him.
Rasmus, your team's now 5-1 on the road in these Stanley Cup playoffs. Montreal's 5-2, so both teams seem comfortable on the road, but is there anything you can point to that actually tells you why that is?
I think we simplify our game when we're on the road. We are playing more aggressive stuff that you should be doing at home also. But yeah, I like our road game. We're just letting it loose out there.
Down 3-1. You're playing pretty well though. Just can you explain the mood and just what allowed you guys to keep your focus and plow forward and, take over the game again?
I felt like the bench was alive the whole game. We believed in it from the beginning. And Oopi came in and gave us a little boost. So it was a mix of everything, but I'm super happy with the character from today's game.
Rasmus, what were the words you had for the team this morning? As you guys were getting ready to face elimination here?
We had some good meetings. You got to treat it as any other game. We're going out every single game to try to win. If you get too jacked up in front of these games, it's hard to play. But today I felt like we played loose. We played with confidence. It was an overall A game from us, honestly.
Ukko, I'm interested in your thoughts on just preparing for this game, knowing you weren't playing. And then what was it like all of a sudden, 10 minutes into the game, there you are, you're on the ice. How did you just stay ready for that particular moment in this game?
Yeah, I mean, there's no difference in preparation. You prepare the same way every game. You have to be ready to go. That's where there's two goalies. And I feel like that's been the story of, the whole year. As a team, everybody, when their chance comes or when they're needed, they have stepped up. And, it felt good to kind of have the team playing as well as they did, in front of me. And I feel like from that point on, when I got to the net, we, started playing simple and really, really pushed the game and kind of take it our way. So, I don't think there's anything different in the preparation. And you just try to keep it simple and, just have the, it's any other situation when you go in.
Ukko, what does it mean for this team to first play in a game seven, and what does this team have to do to win game seven?
I don't know exactly, it's the first time for everybody, but I think there's a lot to learn from today's game. for a lot of guys, it was the first elimination game we've been part of as a team. And so I feel like just kind of duplicating what we did today, taking the good things away, knowing how we have to play, and, you know, kind of what our game is in these situations, and just being confident with it. So I don't think it's anything too too crazy. I think we can just learn from today.
Rasmus, when you see Helenius and Benson and now Metsä stepping into these games in these roles as younger guys, granted you guys all have, you know, the same amount of experience going here, to see them stepping up in a game like this, what does this mean to have those guys jump into these situations?
It's incredible. I think the whole team feeds off their energy, what they bring, and Helenius comes in, was it game four or something, and just takes over. It was cool to see. So I love having them on my team. They bring so much energy on and off the ice, so they're a huge part.
Ugo, you talked about how you have to be ready no matter what, but you come in and don't really face that many shots, and you obviously handled it very well, but does that make it harder when you don't even get to handle the puck all that much when you come in cold like that?
I feel like at that point of the, you know, when you get put in, it doesn't really matter how many shots you see. You just try to find a way to get comfortable in the net, be ready for the next shot. I feel like as a goalie, you kind of have to think that you're almost playing with house money at this point. That point, you kind of want to just do your best, help your team to win. You can't overcomplicate things. You have to just go one shot at a time. It doesn't matter at what point it comes. So just kind of finding a way to stay warm and to get comfortable on the net. I think that's the biggest part.
Uko, after last game, Rasmus said basically that our best player need to be our best player. He had 5 points tonight. What have you seen from your captain in that game?
I think, well, yeah, 5 points is pretty good. I don't know, I don't think there's much else, you know, kind of have to say about that, but I mean, it's an elimination game, you know, for us, and our captain steps up, and that's how you lead a team. I think that's been the whole year, how well he has played. It's not always if you're the loudest on the bench or at the locker room. You take games over when you need to, and I think he very much showed it today.
Ukko-Pekka, I'm curious what the other night was like for you, like leaving the rink after the game, like how you managed to flush that game and kind of get it out of your system in such a short period of time?
I feel like in the playoffs, it doesn't matter what the score of the game is. It doesn't really matter if you win, if you lose. The next game comes fast, and the next game, it doesn't matter what the score of the last one was. You have to be able to, I kind of keep repeating myself, but just never get too low, never get too high. You have to, you know, every game is different. Every game is a new one. So you can't really drag those games along. You need to know what you did wrong, what you need to do better. And I feel like our goalie coach, you know, Belzy, has been unbelievable with that this year. If there's something that needs to be changed, he will point it out to me and just, you know, kind of help me to get comfortable with my game again. And I think today was a good example of that. Thank you.
Okay, that is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Rasmus Dahlin. All of our locker room reports are brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? 8-3, Buffalo wins Game 6 in convincing fashion, forcing a Game 7 Monday night at 7:30 at KeyBank Center. We'll be heading back to the media room in Montreal shortly for Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Wanted to continue with just a couple of stats that we were talking about before. The face-offs that I mentioned with Dan. Sabres have not been good in this series at all, but tonight they win convincingly in that 61-39. And I thought a part of their power play that was better is that they actually got possession with time to set things up. And that was part of that. Norris was great. 11 of 17 in the face-off circle. McLeod was also great too. 11 of 18. Both of them in the 60s in terms of percentage. Okay, Lindy Ruff is talking to the media, including our Paul Hamilton. Let's head back to Montreal.
In the right direction.
I didn't think it was an awful start. Just a couple pucks went in and we were playing well. Got off to the great start, playing well. And I just told the team, stay with it. We're moving the puck well, defending well.
Lindy, you guys are now 5-1 on the road in these playoffs, but they're 5-2 on the road. You know, why can that be when these two arenas are so exciting that the home team seems to be better off on the road?
Well, we're in the process of seeing if we can play here on Monday.
Lindy, going off of that, how do you make Monday feel like a road game? Does this involve, like, added hotels, or what are you guys going to do?
Yeah, we've got some thought going into that right now, but we are going to change up what we've done at home. I really don't have the answer. And I don't think anybody has been able to help me with the answer yet. So, you know, I'm sure they're probably searching for the answer too, you know, in their building. And Boston was searching for the same answer in their building. So we know it's one game now for chance to move on.
Andy, today's Rasmus's first elimination game, and he scores on his first shift and ends up with 5 points. In what ways did he set the tone for you guys?
Well, you know, again, we've been able to get off to a quick start. I thought just that little rotation and in the play he made, you know, I think he held on long enough. Somebody went by him there low in the D zone, and he got to the net on his backhand and a heck of a shot. And I don't know whether it went off their defender's stick or not, but we've been able to score early, and that helps take a little bit of this crowd out of it.
More than the lean, for most of your players, that was a new experience with your back against the wall. So how proud are you that the way your leaders respond tonight in that game?
Very proud of our guys. We talked this morning about everybody needs to play their best game. That the regular season doesn't mean anything, and the Boston series doesn't mean anything, and in the five games to this point really don't mean anything. Our defining moment is this game tonight, that we have to play our best game.
Lindy, what went into all the lineup changes? You shuffled up the lines, you switched your goalie. Like, what went into that, and how did you feel like it worked out?
You know, I just think our top line had struggled. Like, they'd been good for such a long time. I mean, we'd had a few times we'd switched back and forth, but really felt that it was just time to make a change. You know, met with the coaches and, you know, we're talking like probably you guys are talking, how can you break up this line and how can you break up that line? But the bottom line is we just felt it would help a couple of our guys get going. And we went back to the McLeod, Doan, Tuck line, which played a lot early in the year. You know, so you just look back on games that, you know, you thought lines were real good, and we thought there was a connection between. There was times when Awesome would play with Benson and Tomer, so we just decided to put Tomer over on that side. Discussions trying to generate more from your top guys.
Lindy, what in particular sparked this team in the second period?
Yeah, you know, I'll still say this. I thought we played a hell of a first period. We just didn't win the score sheet battle. I thought we played an even better second period, for sure. I thought our skating in the offensive zone, we separated all the time. It made them really tough. It made it really tough on coverage. They couldn't quite catch up to, you know, the low rotation, some of the high rotation, and all of a sudden we had guys open. But it's like I said this morning, we need to skate. We need to skate on pucks. And I thought that was the biggest difference in both zones for us. We skated, we took space and time away in the D zone, and we skated away from people in the offensive zone.
Lindy, your goalies obviously have been used to coming in and out all year, but that was a really crushing moment it had to be for Luukkonen in game 5. What can you say about the way he was prepared in case something happened, and 10 minutes into the game he's in the game and gives you what he gave you?
Yeah, he gave us a great effort, and I know that I'll keep saying it, that I've talked to both guys about it's been a year where we needed both of you, and we've needed Ellie at times. So that's all three of them. In a game like this, it just felt Al wasn't seeing it, but just turn to UPL and see if he can help us out. And he did. He played from that point. He made, I thought, like four or five really good saves that, you know, kept them off the board.
Lindy, you've used basically now everyone with Zach Metz coming in this tonight. Just what, you know, a lot of coaches wouldn't put a rookie in an elimination game for his first playoff game, but obviously he's very mature. Just what made you put him in tonight?
There's some factors that I won't get into. Part of it was we had a couple question marks whether, you know, even Owen Power could play, and I thought he gave us one hell of a game. But using a top four and then putting a right-handed D out there with him was probably the main reason. So that if we, you know, he plays a shift with Darlene, he plays a shift with Owen Power, he plays a shift with Byram, we've got that left-right connection. Felt if Owen Power couldn't get through the game, we need a right defenseman, a guy that'd be comfortable, that'd be playing over there. And I thought he gave us a strong game.
Lindy, will you keep everyone away from the rink again for 2 days?
I believe so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you go into game seven. I think, just like I said, for game six elimination game, there's a lot of pressure. They feel it. And I'm going to say 90% chance you won't see us at the rink for the next day and a half until game time.
Lindy, a few players mentioned, I think Tage in particular, said he felt like the guys played free and that, you know, you kind of got to that version of yourselves again. Did you have any sense, like this morning, or maybe it was early in the game, that you'd be able to get to that version, like you wanted to take the pressure off, and it actually worked, it seems like?
Well, the meeting this morning was about, you know, when I watch film and I see a guy pointing or saying, you go here, or that for me is, there's an indecision on who's going. So we just used this expression this morning that was, the expression was JFG, and you can figure out what that is. And we used that on a whole bunch of clips where there was slowness in our game. And I told the team I'd rather err that they made a mistake going than not going. And I thought some of the tentativeness in game five really hurt us. It hurt us defensively. We spent too much time on our end. And the offensive zone stuff, I thought our guys just skated away. But the defensive zone stuff, I thought, was so much better.
That is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. You like that? JFG. You can figure out what that is. Yes, we can. He said less tentative. They went for sure. Absolutely. Series is all tied up. 3-3, 8-3. Buffalo rolling tonight. Darlene, Zucker, Benson, Quinn, Helenius, Quinn again, Thompson, and Metsa. A 5-point night for the captain, 4-point night for Thompson. Sabres roll, get 4 power play goals, outshoot the Canadiens 36-22. Game 7, Monday night, 7:30. Not a lot of Game 7s in Buffalo's history. I'm looking forward to being in the building. I'm sure many of you are as well. It'll be at 7:30 at KeyBank Center come Monday night. All right, we still have a lot to get to. We're going to still hear more from the locker room, Tage Thompson. We're going to hear from Jason Zucker. We're going to hear from Paul Hamilton. We'll read some tweets at Brian WGR. And we'll look ahead more to Game 7 here as the Sabres get it done tonight at the Bell Center and now have won 5 of 6 on the road in the postseason. All right, at this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, we would, of course, encourage you to do so. Go to WGR550.com, click on that Listen tab. You can also listen on the Odyssey app. Search for WGR. Final score, Game 6 from the Bell Center. Buffalo 8, Montreal 3. Game 7 is now on us on Monday night. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame after this timeout. You're listening to the Stanley Cup Playoffs on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Timmins and McLeod knocked down. Timmins back in with defending. Here's a chance. Anderson. Oh, what a save by Luukkonen. That was a must save, and we might have a penalty coming up on the play. Here's a chance on the side of the net. Out front. Big save by Luukkonen. Puck's behind him, but it's cleared. Oh, boy. That's all too familiar. But he got a break there. Metsä can't clear. Demidov for the far corner. Up top. Dobson shot off the stick. Rebound. Oh, what a stop. Luukkonen with Slavkovsky in front. And Canadians can't keep it in the zone. Montreal trying to get onside, and they do. Dobson drops it back. Slavkovsky away from a broken stick. In front. Caulfield a bouncing puck. Great play by Benson. Sabres can't clear, though. Canadians keep it in. Shot. Glove save by Luukkonen. Oh, my goodness. What a night Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is having here in Montreal.
There's Dan Dunleavy, a barrage of saves. 18 shots, 18 saves for Luukkonen. Those are your saves of the game. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Brian Colziel back here on the postgame. Evan DePasquale producing. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Tom Maddy, our engineer. Kyle Powell on our social media. We appreciate you being with us throughout. If you've been listening to us on our flagship on WGR all day, we've been talking Sabres since 11 a.m. all the way through, and now we're going to go past midnight. It's been a lot of fun, and guess what? We'll get to do it again on Monday as the Sabres now have forced a Game 7 Monday night, 7:30 at Key Bank Center. All right, time to get connected with our fans here, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's take a call here and go to Frank here on the postgame. Hi, Frank. Go ahead. You're on the air.
And tonight, what a performance by the boys. The thing I wanted to point out was how good Metsä looked. I can't, do lineup decisions post haste, but like, why hasn't he been in? I don't get it. But he looked quick, looked fast, moved the puck out of the defensive zone, and they got rushes because of his puck movement skills, which have clearly been apparent since he won the national championship at Quinnipiac. I mean, people seem to forget he's a young player. Keep him in, then let's go on Monday. We got Game 7 in Buffalo. Let's go, baby.
All right. Thanks, Frank. I think, there's a piece of the left-handed versus right-handed shot that's in play when maybe Lindy's making decision with pairings. But Metsä was just so good during the regular season. I know he didn't finish with his top-level game, but to me, the flaws that we see with the others, I still think Metsä should have been playing, honestly. I'm obviously now we've gotten to this point where he's back in, and I would expect him to play again in Game 7. I just think he's the complete package. I think Stanley has some pros and cons. I think Shens has some pros and cons. Timmins has been very good, I think, overall. He had a rough game in Game 5 at home, but for the most part, I think Timmins has done what they've wanted him to do. Provide some toughness, been excellent on the penalty kill, ton of block shots every game. Metsä Timmins to me seems like the best pair right now. Now, Michael Kesselring obviously was supposed to be a part of these top six here. It's really been a disappointing year, obviously, for him. He's still fighting injuries as well. So I think overall, probably you keep the same pair in for sure. Thanks for the call, Frank. Let's take another call here. Dave is with us next from the Dominican Republic. Hi, Dave. Go ahead. You're on the postgame.
Hey, how's it going? I got a couple quick thoughts. Just want to share with you. Sorry, I'm in a golf cart and we're pulling over. We're down here in the DR. Quick thing. Brian, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to need you to take out a piece of paper and a pen because I'm never wrong. I'm just early. I called earlier and I said Jack Quinn, 4 goals tonight. Sorry, he only got 2. He's going to get 2 more in Game 7. Sabres going all the way to the cup. And hold on, wait, can we get Marty back on the phone?
Yeah, Marty has been. Marty was excellent. They're packing up in the booth in Montreal. But,
all right. Marty, if you're listening, I have a theory on the goalies. I can't put it on the air. I can't let everyone know. But you got to call me. All right, we're gonna talk about the goalie situation. We're gonna figure it out. All right, let's go Sabres. Sabres in 7. Right. Let's go, boys.
All right, Dave. All right, thank you.
Hang up and listen.
Yep. Thank you. Enjoy your time down in the Dominican Republic there on a golf cart. That's on a golf cart at midnight. That sounds fun. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, they're the same time zone. That sounds like the up to no good on a golf cart at midnight for sure. But yeah, that sounds like a good time. I have been on Lion's side. I think the numbers have said that he's the better goalie. He definitely did not. He was not ready to go tonight for sure. Who would I start? Man. I mean, the vibes would say go with Lukanen. He's just come off of playing great. I don't know. Is Lyon shook from that? I don't know. Do you rotate like they've been doing? They've been able to do that. My brain says Lyon still gives them the better chance to win, but obviously tonight he didn't show that. So that'll be a fun debate here over the next 48 hours of who's to be in goal for sure. But Dave apparently has a secret formula that he's not willing to share on the air. Thanks, Dave. Okay, let's take another call here. Let's go to Rick in Buffalo next here. Hi, Rick. You're on the post game. Go ahead.
Oh, man, what a game. It was nice to see Paige Thompson actually get on the scoreboard. But I want to say I love Razor on the broadcast, but we got to have Marty back for Game 7. We got to keep the streak going. I'm superstitious, so come on, Marty. Come back and call this game Monday for Game 7. Go Sabres!
All right, Rick, thanks. Rob was at a family celebration today. His daughter graduated from college. So congratulations, Razor and family and daughter, and we wish them a great night. And Rob will be back on Monday. Marty will be back in the building as well. Maybe we can get all three of them involved. We'll see if we can there. But yeah, I mean, they're both great, Rob and Marty, with their perspective. Love listening to both of them here. Appreciate the phone call, Rick. 803-0550 is the number. We heard all those saves from Lukanen. He makes a huge save on Anderson early second period. Benson scores to tie the game 1 minute in. And then just a few moments later, Anderson comes in on a breakaway. Lukanen makes the save. That could have given Montreal the lead right back. And then Buffalo gets those two quick ones from Quinn and Helenius to push it to a 5-3 game. So to me right there, Lukanen's been great. Maybe him even coming in could qualify, but that save on Anderson is our game-changing moment presented by Buffalo Law. When one moment changes everything, choose the right team. Visit BuffaloLaw.com. All right, we've hit midnight here. We're going to take a timeout. And when we come back, we'll head to the locker room at the Bell Center. Paul Hamilton's got some interviews. We'll have let's see here. Tage Thompson coming up. Jason Zucker. Oh, and Paul also said he just got a chance to speak with Jack Quinn as well. And Paul's take. Lots to get here, too, as we are going to push past midnight on the post game. Game 6 goes to the Sabres. They went on the road in front of 20,962 at the Bell Center. Many, many leaving home quiet and disappointed. Game 7 will be in Buffalo Monday night at 7:30. 8-3, Buffalo wins it. More post game after this timeout. You're listening to the Stanley Cup Playoffs on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Trying to fish for the puck. Good job hounding Slavkovsky's hammer to the ice. Take a seat there, courtesy of Bowen Byram. Sabres gain the line.
Bowen Byram with our collision of the game, brought to you by Dan Chacha Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Chacha's gotcha. 8-3, Buffalo victorious in Game 6 from the Bell Center. Game 7 is now what we're looking at next. Monday night, 7:30 at KeyBank Center. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton in just one moment, but let's go ahead and get more from the locker room. Our locker room report's brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Well, let's go to Jason Zucker. He had a big power play goal toward the end of the first. Here is Zucker with Paul.
Thank you. Stringing two together. I mean, like, it's been, you mentioned already, like, trying to flush this one. It hasn't been the easiest thing to do.
It's hard, right? I mean, everyone's making adjustments. Obviously, we made some tonight. They've been making them all playoffs. You know, game by game is, you know, series by series is just, for lack of a better term, a series of adjustments, you know, and just trying to change things and make it more difficult on your opponent. And, you know, so it's a good win tonight, but now we got to go watch video, see what we did wrong, see what we can fix and how to be better.
It gets a little lost in the mix, though, Dahlin starting the game like that and then having the game that he does. Does that help set the tone for you guys, though?
Oh, absolutely. He's I don't think he gets enough credit for how great of a leader he is. And, you know, it was great to see that tonight. But overall, you know, I thought he his emotion from this morning to tonight, I thought he you know, really led the way. It was fun to watch.
What was his emotion like this morning?
You know, I think it was calm, cool, and collected. Yeah, he was vocal, but he was. You know, we're trying to stay lighthearted and enjoy the moment too. And hell, we're playing Saturday night in the Bell Center for Game 6 of, you know, to keep our season alive. What do we have to complain about? What do we? You know, we're playing hockey. We're having fun and enjoying it. And you know, so it was a good win for us.
Not much is going to surprise you. You know the ups and downs of a seven-game series. Some of these guys don't. Do you think they've been surprised? I mean, just sometimes it looks really bleak, but you win a hockey game, it's no longer bleak anymore. Now it's looking positive. It's just, isn't it so weird, the ups and downs of a series?
Yeah, it is, but it also just goes to show how, you know, how close all these teams are, right? I mean, every team in the league that's in the playoffs, number one, you know, even the guys that the teams that just missed, they're all unbelievable teams. And then you get into a playoff series and you get to play the same team up to seven times. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be things that, you know, tendencies you find, but then things that they change and we change. There's just so many different aspects of the game. So you have to kind of take it for what it is and just try to flush it and move on. And that's what we got to try to do now.
Do you have a feeling coming out of that, like this morning at all, that you guys had this in you? Like you mentioned, maybe meeting was a little loose, like you guys were feeling pretty good. Do you ever know? I guess.
I mean, I wouldn't say that everything was loose, right? We tried to keep it, you know, fun, but we also had some stern talks, you know, yesterday, in a meeting, and we watched everything that we did poorly in the last game, and a few before. We also watched some things that we did really well last game and games before. So it's kind of a mix of both. You're trying to see what you're doing well and also what you're not doing well. And there's some very brutally honest conversations happening, but that's the way it goes, you know, and it's only going to help us become better teams.
If I could maybe repeat a question you've already answered, four power play goals, what went so well for you on the power play?
I think we're just trying to, you know, keep it simple, shoot some more pucks, and ultimately for us, it's a lot about winning puck battles and getting pucks back and trying to keep, possession in the zone and make plays from there. I thought we did a better job of winning those battles tonight, winning faceoffs tonight, and I think that goes a long way.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Jason Zucker, he's been playing well here in this series. He gets a big goal at the end of the first. Paul Hamilton and I talked about that cut it to a one-goal game, and that, you know, could Buffalo feed off that? And then they come out and score 1 minute into the second to tie it up, and they were clearly dominating the rest of the way. All right, speaking of Paul, before we get more from the room, we're still going to hear from Tage Thompson and Jack Quinn. Let's bring Paul back in here now, live at the Bell Center. Paul, let's pick up right there. We talked after one. You said you thought that Zucker goal had a lot of meaning, and clearly it did, because the Sabres outscored Montreal the rest of the way from that point, 5-0.
Yeah, just a number of factors went into it, and you know, it's the simple thing that I've been saying most of my career since at least I was doing Niagara hockey, and we've talked about it many times, and we talked about how your best players need to be your best players, and that wasn't happening for a while. Well, guess what happened tonight? Rasmus Dahlin ties a team record with 5 points in a game. He's the third player to do it. John Tucker has done it, and Derek Roy has done it. But it's been a while since somebody did it. Roy did it in like 06, maybe 07, somewhere in there. And, so he ties a record. So he shows up. Tage Thompson almost tied the same record. He had 4 points in the game. Alex Tuck, I thought, was excellent. He was flying. He was skating. He had two or three breakaways. Dobish made some phenomenal saves on him. What are you going to do? I mean, but he was making the plays to get in there and to win battles along the wall. So, you know, Lindy juggling the lineup and breaking those two guys up helped. You know, it helped both of them, and I thought both had strong games, and your three leaders and your three best players were absolutely your best players in this game.
Yeah, for sure. Paul, another storyline obviously is going to be the goaltender. Alex Lyon struggles. Just as Lindy said, he just couldn't find it. Lukanen comes in and performs very, very well. 18 for 18 in net, and gives them the stability that they needed while they kind of were taking over the game.
One thing you don't have to worry about, Lukanen or Lyon, they're usually prepared to come into a game. If they have to come in, it's not a big deal for them. They prepare, as Lukanen just said on the post game, they prepare like, you know, they're playing. So, and they act like it. They get into the game, and Lukanen gets in. It didn't face a lot of shots, which I would have thought would have made it more difficult, you know, to come in that spot. You come in cold, and then you hardly see any shots. I would think that would make it a lot more difficult, but he certainly handled it very well. Had a shutout in the time that he played, which would have been approximately about 50 minutes, somewhere in there. And you know, just slammed the door on any Montreal chances, didn't allow them to get any goals or any chances to detour what the Sabres were doing. You heard Zucker talk in the first intermission when it was 3-1 and then 3-2 at intermission, and he said he thought they were playing well. You know, he didn't have any problem with the way they were playing and thought they were playing well. And even though they had gotten behind 3-1, it was maybe circumstances that caused that. The one thing I didn't like in that period, the one goal I didn't like, is when you're on the power play, which scored four goals, by the way, before I get started. But you're on the power play and you have two Sabres on one guy and they easily get out battled. And down come the Canadians on a 2-on-1. Lyons got to have the shooter there. He didn't. And they wound up scoring the shorthanded goal. But really, you know, there wasn't much that you'd say, oh, I didn't like that or I didn't like that. And then they come back and score four power play goals, including one by Zach Metsa, who is playing in his first NHL playoff game at age, I believe he's 27. And not only is he playing in his first game, he scores his first NHL goal. And I felt awful for him. He had been on the ice 2 seconds when Montreal scored. Nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him. Buffalo had lost a faceoff and went back to the point, shot, goal. And so it wasn't his fault. It had nothing to do with him. That's one thing I don't like about plus minus. I mean, he gets a minus on the play and had zero to do with what was going on, but I felt bad. I mean, the kid just, or he's not a kid, I call him a kid at 27 because he's a rookie, but he just gets on the ice for his first playoff shift and it takes 2 seconds for the puck to wind up in the net against.
Paul Hamilton at the Bell Center. Brian Colziel back here in Buffalo on the postgame. Sabres force a game seven with a convincing 8-3 victory tonight on the road. Paul, how about Jack Quinn? Two goals, and I know you just spoke with him. We're going to hear that interview coming up right after we're done talking with you, but if he can start putting the puck in the net, that's another weapon that Buffalo can have.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Doba should have had a shot from the point, but he also has, you know, a good hard shot. And Doba saw it the whole way, but it eluded him. And maybe somebody with a lesser shot isn't going to be able to elude him there. But Jack Quinn is shooting now. He's finding shooting lanes open. And that is such a key, you know, when he does that. And he's been finding him, but he's been, like, missing the net or hitting the post or, you know, he's been getting opportunities. I think I mentioned earlier that Zucker's had bad luck setting up guys. And Quinn's been one of the guys he's been setting up. And Quinn, you know, he's put some over the net. He's hit some posts. He just hasn't been able to score. But he has been in scoring position. And that's key. You know, opening up passing lanes so Zucker can find him. Finding shooting lanes. And he finally got rewarded with a couple of goals. And you know him. He's very calm in the locker room. You're going to hear from him. It sounded like, you know, that, oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, that's cool. That's fun. Yeah. You know, but that's the way he is. He stays on an even keel. When things aren't going well, he's the same way, you know. And, you know, and things are going well, he's not going to sit there and, you know, take accolades and act like an idiot or everything. Say, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know, he's going to, you know, be very calm about it and say, you know, that's, I'm glad it went in and I'm glad we won. But, you know, they have another game to do. And as Lindy Ruff said, he's negotiating to get the game in Montreal.
That's right. Yep. So, Paul,
I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. The team's staying in Montreal tonight, right? That's what
Yeah, they've been doing that. They did that last game, too. And he's not going to go on the ice. There's no need to be on the ice in the middle of May. You know, they're better off doing what they're doing. It allows the guys to get back, maybe get something to eat, get to sleep. You're not having to go through customs and those types of things because customs takes a while and gets them home later then. So you're able to get up in the morning. Lindy Ruff will talk to the media around 10:15-ish or 10:15, and then they'll probably have a meal there at the hotel and then get themselves packed up and back to Buffalo to, I will almost guarantee you, a hotel. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be heading home. Lindy Ruff has more than once in the past day or two said that they're going to start treating that game like a road game. Should they win that game, I think they will be treating every home game like a road game. And I would predict
and it's only a prediction, and you know I don't do many of these, that from here on out, every home game, the Sabres will be in a hotel trying to pretend it's a road game. And it's good anyway. It just gets everybody together. There's no distractions. You know, because these guys are fathers. You know, they're trying to take care of their kids, and their kids want to spend time with them. And, you know, they, you know, it's you know, things that, you know, have to be done that, human beings do. So I would be very surprised if we didn't see this team in hotels for every home game from here on out.
Let's go to the injury report now, brought to you by Hamburg Overhead Door. Is your garage door injured? Call the experts at Hamburg Overhead Door to get your door healthy again. Paul, two players I want to ask you about that I know officially there's no word from the team, but I think it's fair that you and I would say they're both not 100%. Timmins and Power. And you look at what they did tonight. Power plays over 22 minutes in the game. Timmins plays over 17 minutes in the game. Timmins with five block shots, doing what he always does. And Power obviously not limited at all with the minutes he played. Those two guys, obviously a big part of this win tonight, especially while Montreal was maybe in the lead and Buffalo, for, you know, trying to come back offensively, they had some good defense from those guys.
Well, there's still too many people that haven't figured out what a good defenseman Owen Power and how much he's improved this year. And they think that he's not tough because he doesn't put people through the back wall. This is what I consider toughness. Because Lindy Ruffset did say that they weren't sure if he would be able to get through the game, but they wanted to give it a try. And that's the reason Metz addressed, because if Power couldn't get through the game, they wanted Metz in that slot. And I don't disagree with that at all. But to me, that's toughness, that you came out there. Maybe you're not 100%, maybe even you shouldn't have. But you went out there and gutted it out and played well. So I've been thoroughly impressed with Owen Power and the improvement I've seen in him this season. And to me, I'm just going to say that's toughness.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Well, how many game sevens have you covered? They haven't, let's see. They've only won one, we know. That was the Derek Plant time. The last one was 2011 when they lost to the Flyers in the first round. Then well, game 06, sevens, of course, at home, Carolina.
I think there have only been two at home, which would have been Derek Plant and would have been Kasparaitis. If I'm not mistaken.
That's when Hasek took off from the crease right to the bench, right away there.
Yeah. Now, there have been Game 7s. Brad Park for the Boston Bruins scored in Game 7. Carolina is a Game 7. I believe in New Jersey, one of the few series that Dominik Hasek looked like the regular season Dominik Hasek in that series. The Dave Hannon goal sent it back to, what did RJ say? Back where Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah,
something, I don't remember what, but that went back to New Jersey for a seventh game. So those are some of the ones that I can remember, and you know how dangerous it is for me to try to be remembering things off the top of my head, but I think we may have gotten them all. I'm not positive we've gotten them all. We may have, but I'm almost positive that it's only been two home game sevens.
And in 56 seasons of the Sabres, they've only won one of those Game 7s. That was the Derek Plant 97 OT winner when he beat Ron Tugnutt. Maybe Plant's the guy that is the appropriate name, Paul, to come and bang the drum for Game 7.
It would have been fun to it would have been fun to see a Dallas Game 7, because according to Ken Hitchcock, and we'll never know if it's true or not true, but we do know that Brett Hull hardly played in overtime, and it was a offensive zone faceoff, and Hitchcock went down and asked him if he'd go out there since it was an offensive zone faceoff. He said yes, and he scored. But he claims that, and we do know that Hull and Madonna were nursing injuries, and he claims neither one of them would have been able to play in Game 7. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But that would have made it even more interesting if Dallas's two best players would not have been in the lineup.
Yeah, and that would have been in Dallas, right? Because that
it would have been
in
Dallas,
Buffalo.
Correct?
Yeah. All right. Well, you get to put another one on the list, Paul. You'll get to cover Game 7 Monday night. I look forward
to seeing
this.
Your first one?
This will be my the 2011 one, right? It's Philadelphia. That was
You did the Philadelphia one, okay?
Yeah, that was 2011. Yeah, I would have been still. I was hosting that. I took over after the two the 2 years that they went to the Eastern Finals. I took over that. Seven, what, the 07, 08 year I took over. So, yeah, I had, this will be my second one. First one in person, though, because that was a road game. So I didn't, I'm not traveling, on the, obviously, for the road games, as you
so
are.
You so you weren't hosting during the finals against the Flyers in 75?
I was not. I was not born yet.
But Howard was.
Of course, Howard, yes. Good job, Evan. That was, Paul put the Howard, ball on the tee for you there.
Howard was celebrating his 40th birthday during that series.
That's right. That's right. All right, Paul, thank you. Great work all day. I know you you were on with the earlier shows and then my show and then again in pregame and intermissions and post. And we still got more of your interviews to play, so I'll get to that. Rest up. I'll see you Monday night.
Well, there's no problem. Sleep is optional at this time of year, and that's just fine because it's a fun time of year. I definitely don't ever complain during playoffs or anything like that. It's the job. It's fun. If you don't get to sleep, you don't get to sleep. There'll be plenty of time to sleep in July and August.
That's right. Good point. Thank you, Paul. Have a good night.
Take care. Yeah.
All right, Paul from Montreal at the Bell Center. Sabres victorious 8-3 tonight. All right, I mentioned we're going to hear more from the room. Jack Quinn got his first and second goals of the playoffs tonight. Both of them were on the power play, and the first one was the game winner as he put Buffalo up 4-3 en route to the 8-3 victory. Let's go back now and get more from our locker room reports in the Bell Center in the Sabres room. Here's Jack Quinn with Paul.
Jack, it was a long road for you to get your first NHL playoff goal. You got two of them. You have to be, first of all, pleased with the win, but first of all, second of all, you were able to get them.
It was great to see one go in there, and like I was saying earlier, at a big moment, so it's great.
What does it mean for this team to play in a Game 7, first off?
It's exciting. I think, it's we've all thought about it growing up, so we're excited for the challenge.
And what does this team need to do to rise to the occasion and meet the moment on Monday, individually and collectively?
We just need to play our game. We just need to compete. We did it well tonight, and we got to do it again.
It was almost a reverse of the last game. I mean, you guys got behind, and then all of a sudden you just take the lead and take over the hockey game. What first of all, what got you behind? Second of all, what got you on your game where you're able to play and win the game the way you did?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to answer. I feel like the whole series has been pretty chaotic like that. A lot of momentum shifts and lead changes. So we knew we were playing well, and even though we were down two after the first, we knew we could get back in it.
How about Lukanen coming in cold like that and putting on the performance he did?
Yeah, guys, he's a gamer, and can't imagine that's easy to do, but he came in there and stood on his head, so unbelievable by him.
You just have so much confidence on the road as a team. I mean, here you are 5-1, the playoffs on the road. It seems like now I think Lindy's going to treat the home game like a road game too.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
What has been the success on the road, do you think, that you play so much better?
Not really sure. I mean, we're a close group. We love getting on the road together, hanging out, and maybe we rally around that a little.
How were you able to get yourself loose on the power play to get those shots off and find the shooting lanes?
Yeah, I think just being out there with those guys, Tomer and Dahls, they draw a lot of respect. So, I think they maybe gave me a little space there because of that.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah.
Jack Quinn on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Quinn with two goals, part of an 8-goal barrage for the Sabres. 7 different goal scorers. Quinn, the only one with 2 in this game. Game 7 coming up Monday night at 7:30. All right, one more interview. Let's go back to our locker room reports at the Bell Center. Here is Tage Thompson, who had 4 points tonight. Here's Thompson with Paul.
I think when you go through adversity and tough times, you got to lean on each other, and we've done that all year. And I think we've just embraced that, the challenge, the opportunity, whatever you want to call it, attacking it, going through it together.
Paige, how was the mood in the hotel this morning, like in the meetings and everything? Like, did you get a good vibe from the group?
Yeah, it was good. It's pretty calm. Like I said, it's another game. The pressure was on them tonight. We were playing free, and like I said, we all look at it. You look at the big picture. Pretty happy with where we are right now. Obviously, we want more, but you can't get blinded by the noise and all the stuff that's kind of right in front of you. You gotta take a step back and be grateful for where we're at and
think we all were. So it's a good vibe this morning. And like I said, it's another opportunity to play the game we all love.
What do you respond to the idea now? They're going to say the pressure's all on you.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like I said, we've had pressure all year. So I think, you know, it's a good thing. It's test your character, sees what you're made of, and that's when you lean on, like I said, you lean on the guys next to you.
Has it been a surprise to you at all, the flow of a 7-game series? I mean, sometimes it looks so bleak, and then one win, and it looks so great. I mean, the ebbs and flows of it, has it surprised you all the way it's gone?
No. I think that's what everyone in here expected. It's certainly what I expected. It's a 7-game series for a reason. It's good teams going up against each other. Any team can win on any given night. And that's why you got to have a short memory. You can't hold on to things and carry it into the next game. It's so quick. You're playing the next, whatever day in a day or two against the same team that knows you and you know them. So there's no secrets. Everything's out in the air. It's harder to find room and space out there, harder to score goals, harder to do everything.
I know it's absolutely no surprise to you, but how much of a lift do you get from Lucan coming in cold and putting on a performance like that?
Yeah, well, we're in a great spot where we got two really good goalies that can step in and we have a ton of confidence in both those guys. And, obviously I think, Oopi steps in and does a great job for us tonight, but, Al has bailed us out a million times. So both goalies, anytime they're in the net, we have confidence. And that's what I said about picking guys up, and we're a tight group, and it doesn't matter if you had a bad game, a bad period. Guys in this room believe in each other, and that's what it's all about, just leaning on each other.
You said you liked your first period. What is the feeling like when you do get down 3-1? Is there a sense of resolve? What's sort of that vibe?
Yeah, I mean, try not to play the score. I think you just play the game, shift at a time regardless of what happens. It kind of goes back to the ebbs and flows of the whole series. It's that same way in a period, in a game. Momentum shifts, and I think if you get lost in, the score, it can take, the mental aspect out of the game. Instead of focusing on the task at hand in the next shift, you start worrying about things that are out of your control. So I think when you just look at it, shift at a time and don't play the score and just focus on the things we need to do. That's usually when the results take care of themselves.
Thank you, Tage. Tage Thompson of the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, solid game for Tage Thompson. He was the third star with 4 points, 1 goal, 3 assists. Sabres victorious 8-3 to tie the series up at 3. Game 7 will be at home Monday night at 7:30. Time for our Drive Around the League now, brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. No other NHL games tonight. In fact, the Western Conference, which is set, Colorado and Vegas, will start on Wednesday. And now we do know that with this series, Buffalo-Montreal going to 7, that series with Carolina will start on Thursday. So regardless of who wins, whether it's Buffalo or Montreal, Game 1 of the Eastern Finals will be Thursday night in Raleigh with the Hurricanes hosting and having home ice advantage in that series. Today at the Preakness, Napoleon Solo is your victory. No Triple Crown chance this year as Golden Tempo, who won the Kentucky Derby, did not race today. At the PGA Championship, Alex Smalley is your leader through 3 rounds. He has a 2-shot lead over 5 golfers, including Jon Rahm and Ludvig Åberg. Some big names at -3 include Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Reed. Justin Rose is at -2. And also Cameron Smith is at -2, as is Hideki Matsuyama. Scotty Scheffler, a rough day, 1-over round of 71. He's tied for 23 at -1, but only 5 off the lead, but a lot of golfers in between. Baseball, a couple of scores. The Bisons get some help from the rain to stop it short as they were up 2-0 on Worcester, and they win it in a rain-shortened game. 2-0 the final in 5. Rochester beats Lehigh Valley 5-0. Okay, there are your scores. Our score, of course, in Game 6 from the Bell Center, Buffalo 8, Montreal 3. We are going to do something cool here at the end. I know maybe some of you listening to the post game were watching it on ABC and didn't get a chance to hear Dan and Marty call the goals. So Buffalo scoring 8 times tonight. We thought it would be fun to finish the show here tonight as we get to 12:30 in the morning. with all 8 goals consecutively played. Our producer, Evan DePasquale's got them all ready to go. So enjoy that. But before we go, want to thank our crew who've been working since 11 a.m. today. Well, Evan and I actually started at 7 a.m. with Tita Green. But want to thank Evan DePasquale, our network producer, Kyle Powell on our social media. You can check out his game story, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Tom Matty is our engineer. And, of course, our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Marty Baron tonight. And also our hosts on WGR on our flagship all throughout the day, Joe Calley, Derek Kramer, Owen Parker. Thank you for all a job well done. My name is Brian Colesiel. I appreciate you listening with us all day. Buffalo wins it 8-3 over Montreal. Game 7 will be Monday night at 7:30. But let's crank up the highlight bed here and the music. We'll finish here with all 8 goals to celebrate the Sabres 8-3 victory tonight in Game 6. Good night, everyone.
Norris had his stick tied up a little bit. Finishes a check, and now Benson up top for Samuelson. Dahlin drifts down far. Circle cuts in. Dahlin back and scores! What a beautiful goal! Magic by the captain, Rasmus Dahlin. And it is another early goal to put Buffalo on top. 1-0. Down the left side. Evans almost stripped him of the puck. Now the Sabres got a man in front. Zucker scores! Power play goal, and it's a must for Zucker. And the Sabres are back within one. With 6:04 remaining in the first, it's 3-2 Montreal, and it quiets the building just enough. It's Tage Thompson who took the latest slash from Dobich. There's a shot, deflection, rebound, scores! What a play! Tenacity pays off for Buffalo once again as the Dogs chase a bone, and Zach Benson gets the reward. And Buffalo has tied the game at 3, 1 minute into the second period. Quinn plays it down to the goal line. Dahlin is down low. Power play with 1:18 left. Quinn ready to fire, scores! Quinner with a great shot as he rips it home. Another power play goal, and the Sabres storm back and have a 4-3 lead. That's Bowen Byram. Valeno's slow going to the bench. Here's Zucker, left side, 2-on-1. Zucker with Hellas. Hellas shoots, scores! The kid has done it again! Konsta Helenius. They mob him at the far boards. It's a 5-3 Buffalo lead with 7:01 remaining in the second period at the Bell Center. Down to the corner for Quinn. Back to Tage. They can go back and forth here. Not challenged. Oh, scores! What a blast from Quinn! That was an unbelievable goal from Jack Quinn on the power play. And the Buffalo Sabres, on his second power play goal of this game, take a 6-3 lead. Jumping Jack Quinn with the ripper. Simmons trying to play it up the wall. Montreal with a keep in. Now a chance to lift it out. This is going to go into the empty net for the 7th goal of the game by the Buffalo Sabres with 5:48 to go in the third period. 7-3 in game 6 for the Buffalo Sabres as Tage Thompson goes down the line for fist bumps on what's been a great night in Montreal. Metsa, pass to the goal line. Metsa, why not? Take the shot, scores! Zach Metsa with his first NHL playoff goal from the top of the right circle. Are you kidding me?
Well,
8-3 Buffalo.